The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Here we are standing today. Excuse my language. We're a couple of days away from kickoff. Man, that slipped.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hi, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here is Dave Tope.
Kit Harrison missed at in that fourth quarter. How's he doing, like, mentally? Does he ever kind of get in his head and try to tweak on things, or is his confidence where it needs to be?
Yeah, his confidence is where it needs to be. He just, you know, every kick and every time and every quarter, every time the quarter changes, he's thinking about, you know, where he's going to be and where he's going to play the ball and stuff like that in different positions of the field. He's thinking about that constantly, so... He just didn't get the draw on the ball like he normally does. He kind of just stayed out there, and he normally has a draw on his kick, and he just didn't hit it solid for him. That's why he missed it.
When you're determining the range for the next game, is it you go to the previous kick, or is it simply you wash it and go right to warm-ups and just say?
Yeah, it's always the warm-ups because you never know what you're going to get, elements and stuff. So it's day to day. I mean, you know, like this week we're in Denver. I mean, the altitude is going to be a factor, so he might have a little bit more of a range this week. So. You have to adjust every week is different.
Is it like a home run in Arizona? They can hit them out farther because of the dry air.
Sure.
Is that with altitude and football?
Yep, that's exactly right up there. It seems like the ball carries another 5 yards. I mean, it's usually what I usually say, and it kind of holds true.
Dave, in terms of special teams splash plays, I know we're getting Pacheco here in a little bit, but he's had a couple now. Do you feel like he's maybe the rookie that's made probably the most progress on special teams so far?
Because he has the ball in his hand, you know. I mean, he's the one that's most noticeable. But other guys like Jack Cochran has really gotten much, much better. He's a guy that is really playing at a high level. Leo Chenal, really, really playing great. Cook just keeps getting better. I mean, those rookies are all – I mean, those are four-phase guys that are playing every down for me, and – they just keep getting better and better each week. And, you know, when guys like Pacheco makes plays, you know, make the big plays, that means those guys are doing their job. So it all works hand in hand.
How many yards does Denver typically add, do you think?
I'd say 5 yards. Yeah, I'd say 5 yards. It, you know, it kind of holds true.
I know Harrison's a no-excuses kind of guy, but this looked like the snap when that kick was a little bit low, too, on the field goal try.
Snap was a little low.
Did that have any impact on the angle and everything?
I don't think so. I think, you know, snap was low. Tommy did an outstanding job catching the ball and then getting it down, number one, on the spot. And then he had the laces. He had to spin the laces at the last second. It ended up being a perfect hole. So, but, yeah, I mean, Bucker sees that the ball is low, so he sees that before he goes. And he's counting on Tommy to clean it up and get it down, which he did. And now, you know, he just has to make the kick.
What do you expect out of the Broncos special teams? Are they a solid unit?
Yeah, they're a solid unit. They got a really good punt returner. I mean, I really, really very impressed with him. You know, he's a rookie, and you know, he's hard to tackle. He's got a lot of courage. He catches the ball in a crowd, and he's a spinner, and he's just really good after the catch. So. You know, he does kickoff returns, too, so he's a guy we have to deal with.
When you can – I know we ask you this question a lot, especially when you get up to Denver, you can always have the touchbacks. Is this one of those weeks where you don't want to maybe want to kick it deep all the way, or you do want to kick it deep?
Yeah, I mean, you change it up week to week. I mean, situation in the game. You know, if you're leading, you're not going to necessarily put your team at risk, but if you are trying to make a play, you might kick it to them and try to get a turnover, maybe force them to – have a holding call, or, you know, it's all about field position. When you feel like you can create field position, you want to try to do that, and you need to, you do it.
It was you guys had a short kickoff this last week, right, after the penalty.
Yeah.
It didn't look like it was quite as deep as you wanted. Was that executed about right?
Yeah, we wanted a little deeper. You're right. You're totally right on that. You know, on that kick when we have a holder, you know, where we can take advantage of a holder bringing the ball back, we're trying to, you know, kind of rocket that ball really as high as we can and deeper. We didn't get it as deep as we wanted. The hang time was pretty good, but it's not as deep as we'd like.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
All right, there's Dave Tope. Should mention that before Dave Tope got up there, everyone worked out, or everyone is going to work at practice today. So limited at practice yesterday with Kadarius Toney and Nick Bolton. Everybody's going to be working today yet again, so that would be back-to-back days for Kadarius Toney out there, and we'll see what the status might be of Nick Bolton with a groin injury is why he was limited yesterday. So special teams, not as much of a conversation this week, even with the missed kick by Butker, because it was more of the decision to even kick it. Here's Eric Bannon.
We got to pick up the pieces, move on. It's Denver Bronco week. With that said, I'm all ears.
How much do you feel Isaiah's improved since the beginning as far as the patience and vision? I know that has been the point of emphasis for y'all.
You know what? I think he's done a good job of progressing each and every week. Every week he does something a little bit different. Obviously, what's showing up on tape is that he's running extremely hard. He's doing a heck of a job of moving the chains. We just got to continue to build and grow with him.
Travis obviously was disappointed with the fumble. He's not someone who fumbles a lot. It looked like he was doing everything correct on that play. He's a veteran. He probably doesn't need a lot of coaching on that. But how do you approach that with someone his stature when they have a fumble like that ends up costly?
Well, the thing about Trav has been through this, and he understands exactly what you said. He's a veteran player. You know, guys never want to go into a game wanting to fumble the football. So he was trying to do everything, but he understands that cannot happen. When you're playing in those type of games and that type of atmosphere, you know, the margin of error is so small and so minute that the littlest thing can dictate the outcome of the game. And the thing I took away from all of it, from that experience, is just getting our guys to understand that you never know when something little can have such an impact. So it's important that we're focusing on the little detail aspects of our game. That way now we don't have to worry about that. So we got to take care of the little things. We got to take care of the details. We'll improve. We'll be better. And sometimes you need those type of lessons moving forward to help you to continue to grow in the right way as a, collectively as a group.
When you're being touched by three defenders like that, is the coaching point to continue to fight, or is it, you know, is it both depending on the situation?
Well, here's the thing. And as a former player, there's always an ego about you, you know. Hey, I'm the man, I can do this, I can do that. But sometimes you just got to know when to say when. You got to know when to surrender. At the end of the day, just like I discussed with the guys each and every week, the ball is the most important thing, not you. So let's just make sure anytime we're in possession of that football that we're handing it back to the ref after each and every play.
The Broncos obviously struggled. They haven't won a lot of games, but their defense is still very good. What are the big challenges you guys will have facing the defense?
Every week it starts up front. Those guys are doing a heck of a job, and they're showing up on tape. Every week it starts up front. Their D-line is playing. They're playing hard. They're playing fast. Those are two interior guys, the Jones brothers. They're doing a hell of a job. Browning, number 53. I mean, they got some guys, Purcell's doing this thing, the Packers, Josie, 47 and 49, and the hell is secondary, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, the nickel, number 21, it's a shame I can't think of his name, and then they got a rookie out there, I think the kid is from Nebraska, that's playing. They're very good, okay? They show up on tape for all the right reasons. So although they are struggling, they're still the Denver Broncos. They're one of those teams that we know that has a great ideal and feel for what we do. So it's our job to make sure that we're not taking anything for granted. I can care less what their record shows. I do know this. When you look at them defensively, they're playing championship football. And it's our job to make sure that our guys are ready and plugged in. They need to go out and perform.
When you get to this point in the season, I mean, obviously they're not going to make the playoffs. But when you're watching them on tape, you're seeing that defense fighting like they're fighting for a playoff spot.
Oh, yeah. You got to understand, guys are auditioning for jobs. So anytime the Kansas City Chiefs are coming to town or teams are coming to visit us, it's their Super Bowl. They want to see how they measure up against a team that's had a great deal of success for a number of years. And so we know that we're going to get their best. And so when you know that, it's important that we do not slip. So I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. It's always about the little detail aspects of our game. We got to make sure that we're on top of everything. But we need to go out there and collectively play hard and play fast, but also have a sense of urgency and a sense of purpose in everything that we do by detailing their specific job on that one particular play.
Hey, Coach. What do you think of Colorado's new football coach?
Hey, I've known Prime for a long time. I'm actually very happy and excited for him, you know. But my whole focus is on the Denver Broncos. I know Prime is getting all his attention that he needs right now. But I think he's going to do a great job.
Hey, Coach, I was surprised a week ago when Patrick Mahomes in here said that he's kind of liking staying in the pocket, and as he gets older, he wants to be more and more in there with an occasional breakout. Are you seeing that attitude from him and trying to help him develop that more and more and make plays more and more? And
oh yeah, I mean it's good talk.
So it's not true.
No, it is true, and I'm just breaking the light because he does. He's actually very, very in tune and staying focused on what can he do in the pocket to help him to get better. Especially just like I discussed a few weeks ago about our interior three. Those guys do a great job of protecting the depth and giving him an opportunity to step up. But Pat's one of those guys, if he feels something, he's going to find a way to make a play with his feet. And he's dynamic at it. And the thing that you don't want to do, you don't want to encourage him to do it all the time, but you don't want to discourage him from doing it as well. But he's doing a heck of a job of just stepping up in the pocket, playing with poise, and doing what he needs to do.
So he's not as old as he thinks.
I mean, what, this is year, what, 5 or 6?
27 years old.
Yeah, I mean, he's 20.
Yeah, what, he's a baby.
How old is Brady?
45.
Yeah, exactly. So we got a long ways to go.
I wanted to also ask you about Pacheco. When I first met him, he told me football was his favorite. It's the only place you could hit somebody and not get in trouble for it. He's got that running back, I'm going to knock you over if you come. Do you see that kind of growing in him, helping him be more successful?
Yes.
And other teams starting to respect how physical he can be?
Well, you know what? I'll say this. Greg Lewis is doing a great job with him. I'll tell you what else is teaching him. Jerick McKinnon is doing a great job with him. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is doing a great job with him. You know, Burton is doing a great job with him. All those guys, they talk to each other. They have a great chemistry. They have a great working relationship together. So they're helping him to improve on every aspect of his game. Is he taking heed? Yes, he is. He's listening. He's going out there and he's learning a lot on his own as well, because you can only learn by experience. But he's doing a great job. He's just a physical football player. He's a physical person. And so he has the right attitude and the right mindset to play the position, because they know when he's in the backfield, it's 85,000 people, including the other 11 on the other side of the ball, knows that he's going to touch it. And so you have to have that temperament to play physical and to play aggressive. And he has that.
Coach, Lucas Niang has been back for a few weeks. Looks like he's had some team snaps, got in, I think, believe one snap as a sixth man. He's had 9 previous starts for you in the past. Just how ready do you think maybe he is to get back in that mix?
Yeah, I think Lucas is chomping at the bit, you know, and I think obviously just like any professional player, they would all tell you, hey, I'm the man, I should be starting right now. But right now, those guys are doing a pretty good job up front of taking care of business, although it hasn't been perfect all the time. But, you know, he understands his role, he understands his place, and he understands that the biggest thing right now is making sure if something was to happen, that he's mentally and physically prepared to step in when that situation presents itself.
Orlando and Wally have been kind of considered giving up the most pressures in the league so far. What's been the process of helping them out along with Chips and others in the O-line?
Well, I'll say this. Just like I discuss each and every week, because it's not an excuse for those guys, but every week we're going to get everybody's best. And so every week is championship football. Those guys know exactly what they're going to be faced. As a coaching staff, we can do a great job, a better job of helping them out as well, knowing that some of the premier pass rushers that they're going to play against. You know, it's just like the kid, Browning, number 56. This kid was an inside backer. Now he's outside, I mean, wreaking havoc. I mean, number 53, I can't think of his name, but these guys can play. They get after the quarterback. So we got to make sure we're staying in tune and giving them the necessary help. But also, too, those guys know in certain situations that help won't be provided. So they also understand that they can be better in certain situations. But as a coaching staff, we need to be better as well.
Go ahead.
It seems like Pacheco's production has gotten better since his fumble. You mentioned details earlier. I just wonder, with the running style and the details, what has shown up to where he's been so successful since fumbling against the Jacksonville Jaguars?
You know what? And I'll say this, and it sounds simple. He takes coaching. He listens. Okay? And one thing in this industry, the only way you're going to learn to improve is to go out there and make a mistake. Sometimes the best thing that you can do is make a mistake. And so by him having his quote-unquote failures when presented, he's maximized and made the most of it because he's learned from what not to do. And so I think he's a mature kid he's doing a great job right now. Knock on wood, I don't want to jinx it, but he's doing a great job. Coach Lou is making sure he's staying fundamentally sound with all the details and all the aspects of the things that he needs to do on the field. But on top of that, making sure that he's taking care of his body the right way.
Coach, you've had Melvin Ingram now for Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. That's all right. We had Ingram for a while.
We've had Gordon now for the past week, and understanding that the running back room is healthy, but what stands out to you about Melvin that you didn't know before?
You know what? I'll say this. I don't know if I necessarily didn't know it, but just watching him, he's the ultimate professional. It's the reason why he's had the success that he's had. Obviously, he had a tough year this year, and sometimes it happens. But sometimes without any bad luck, you wouldn't have any good luck at all. And he's happy to be here. I'm glad that he's here. He's had an opportunity to watch our guys work. He has a great deal of respect for what we're doing and how we're doing it. And he's just making the most of every opportunity. He's not complaining about anything. He just wants to know what he needs to do. And the thing that we talked about on day one, is just making sure he's busting his tail when he's out there. And he's doing a great job of it. He's a professional.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, you guys. Thank you.
All right, there's Eric Bieniemy. We'll hear from Steve Spagnuolo coming up next out at the Arrowhead practice facilities. Talked about Isaiah Pacheco, Kelsey's fumble, fighting for more yards, Denver, Lucas Niang, and the tackles for the Chiefs, Orlando Brown and Andrew Wiley. The thing that I just do not really care about hearing is when he says that, look, every week we get everybody's best. Cool. So do the interior offensive line as well. Here's Steve Spagnuolo.
We have anything to say. We're getting ready to play the next opponent. So with that, I'll open it up.
Coach, tell me about Russell Wilson. I mean, great quarterback. For some reason, the system he's in isn't bringing out his best. But how do you view him? What do you see on tape?
We're always digging into all of it, right? And there's enough, I think there's enough really good plays on there for us to be concerned about another quarterback that can play really good. I think he's really good at throwing the deep ball. I know he wants to throw it. I think it's something we got to be concerned about. It's something we can't allow. You know, when we limit explosive pass plays, usually our points allowed turns out pretty good. So we got a great deal of respect for the player that we know he is.
Coach, I know you're always forward-looking, but just quickly on Cincinnati, you guys have been really good at getting to the quarterback, and it seems like they've had a knack for preventing that from happening for whatever reason. What have you been seeing that Cincinnati prevents you guys from actually getting that?
Yeah, listen, I thought that quarterback beat us with his brain, with his arm, and with his feet. I told the guys that on Tuesday. The brain part's on me. Arms and feet's on all of us. But getting to the feet part of it, I just think he's really good. You know, when you had those few moments where we had kind of shots at him, he found a way out of it. He made it really tough.
That last touchdown that the Bengals had was kind of tricky. They had Chase in the backfield, and they hurried up to the line of scrimmage after the huddle.
Yeah.
Is there a mechanism for that when a team does that to try and make that quick recognition about what?
Yeah, listen, I'll give them a lot of credit. We had not seen that. Was something that they had not done. They obviously were doing it because they were given a formation where they were probably trying to disguise where he was and try to get him the ball. And it happened quick. We had a call that was a little bit tougher to get executed when they go fast. And my hat's off. They picked the right play at the right time.
Coach, there's an empty spot right now on the defensive line. If Brandon Williams is the guy that's pulled up in time for the Broncos, what has stood out to you over the last week with him in town?
Yeah, Brandon brings a lot of energy. I mean, him and Joe know each other really well from their Baltimore years. I was actually with Brandon his rookie year in Baltimore, so I knew him as a rookie. They changed quite a bit from their first year in the league. And that's interesting. I've had other guys that I've had young and then years go by, and then I'm with them again, and they're just different people. But look, he's a big, strong guy. We'll see where we're at. I mean, it's only been 2 days. Yesterday, we didn't even have helmets on, so it's going to take a little while to kind of sift through it.
Coach, you haven't been a part of this long streak entirely, the Chiefs beating the Broncos, but you've been in the league for a long time. What's it like to be on either side of a long streak against a divisional opponent?
Yeah, it's interesting. I can remember those kind of streaks in the NFC East. One when I was at Philly with New York, and then when I was flipped. It's interesting. It's streaky. I don't know why that is. I'm not a gambler, but I once had somebody tell me that when it was so far one way, gamble the other way, because eventually it's going to happen. I hope that doesn't happen. I don't know. I haven't put too much thought into it because it's always the next game, and there's nothing that happened in the prior. Is it 13? There's nothing in the 13 prior games are going to help us in this one. You know, it's different people, so I don't put a lot of thought into it.
Coach, 13 straight, obviously. I know getting a fast start for a defense and for a team is always important.
Yeah.
Is it going to be even more important this week facing a team that's really struggled and had just been kicked down?
Yeah, and I always say, we always talk about when we go into an opponent's stadium, from a defensive standpoint, you know, there's a surge early. It's the crowd. It's the excitement. You know, the players on the opposing team, they're home. There's some energy there. And we're always talking about having to survive that and then thrive in it. And if you don't do that, to your point, early, it can make it really tough as you go. And again, I've talked about this before, but the first and last series of each half to us are four of the most important series in the game. And the one you're talking about is the first time they come out there.
Hey, Stevie, Willie has been there a lot, but you subbed in Darius a little bit more. What are you guys trying to accomplish, Darius?
Darius, in my opinion, when he played when Willie was out, played some good football for us. And I talked with Willie about this yesterday. Guys that do that deserve to get some playing time. And at some point down the stretch here, we're going to need pieces to change. You know, Brian Cook had to go in when Juan was injured, and Brian Cook had played some downs prior to that. I just believe in getting guys ready. It's not a reflection on Willie. It's probably more of a compliment to Darius than anything else.
Anybody else? Okay.
Oh, how about that?
Awesome.
That was pretty good.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, there's Steve Spagnuolo. We'll hear from Isaiah Pacheco. How about that about Joe Burrow? He beat us with his brain, his arms, and his feet. The brain is on me, the arms and the feet on everyone. Also, I'm glad that he admitted he is not a gambler. Because as he said, somebody told me, I'm not a gambler, told me, but when one thing's happening one way constantly, you know, just bet on the other side because eventually it's going to turn. That's what everybody says in Vegas. Definitely bet for the streak to end. That's there's one thing Vegas wants you to do. That's it. Just bet for the streak. No, it's gonna come up red. I'll just keep throwing it on black. Just keep throwing it on black. It's red. Okay, red again. Yeah, just throw it on black. It's gonna happen eventually. I'm out of money. Damn it.
Blitz, 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 blitz,
that's
blitz,
the
blitz.
Other part.
Hey, wait, maybe no. Blitz, blitz, blitz.
Blitz again. Blitz
it's,
again.
Like you said, he said he's not a gambler. Maybe that's the important part.
You know what? This time we're gonna get to Joe Burrow.
Take defensive advice from Steve Spagnuolo. Don't take gambling advice from him.
Eventually, it's going to change, and the defense will put pressure on Joe Burrow.
Someday.
It's going to change. They'll get a sack. So Spags is betting on sacking Joe Burrow next time they play because it's got to switch up when something is happening one way constantly. I will say this probably wouldn't be the week I would bet on the Broncos to break the streak. That's just me. I would ride with the streak this week.
I do think that Eric Bieniemy was effusive in his praise of the Broncos' defense, and that's not just coach speak. Like, he went number by number and name by name. He was not going to call anybody T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd. But
it's weird. Why does Eric Bieniemy, does he not watch film?
Right.
Because he's only giving numbers. He doesn't know their name.
He just did it more confidently. That was all. That the Justin Reed thing could have been avoided if he would have just
Dave
said
Tope
it more
didn't even know the name of the kick and punt returner for the Broncos. Is he not watching film and getting ready for it? Why doesn't he know his name?
Really
he just
like
kept
that guy.
Kept saying number 12 or whoever that guy, their returner.
I do think that it was legit from Bieniemy, but if the offense looks like it struggles a little bit against the Broncos, I'll give him a little bit of leeway because that's a good defense. If the Chiefs defense struggles in this game, it is going to be a rough Monday for all of us.
Yeah. Eric Bieniemy said that Denver Broncos are playing championship caliber defense, and I agree.
Yeah.
It's just they are, again, let down by their offense and their quarterback, and they made the move and went all in and gambling, pushing their chips into the table.
We got to get a good quarterback eventually.
That's
what
right.
Spags said.
On Russell Wilson, and they folded a hand previously that might have actually helped them this year, because I don't know what Drew Lock looks like in the Broncos offense, but is the Broncos offense better with Drew Lock than it's been with Russell Wilson? Because it has been trash with Russell Wilson.
This is not an over-exaggeration. It would be hard for Drew Lock to be worse than Russ has been this year.
Agreed. Yeah.
Genuinely, it would be hard to be worse.
Here's Isaiah Pacheco.
You haven't had the chance to go to Denver, face the Denver Broncos, play in the altitude and all that kind of stuff. What have you heard about this division opponent that this team has been so successful against?
Definitely a great opponent. You know, we want to go down there and compete, get back on track, and, you know, just looking forward to this week.
You've got a chance to get into a bit of a groove now with all these carries and all these different games. Just how comfortable do you feel right now? How good are you feeling?
You know, day in and day out, it's all that practice. You know, just continuously, you know, just getting comfortable behind the guys and continuously building. You know, days like this and when we lose and we come back and, you know, see who's really ready to work.
Isaiah, Coach was saying that one of your biggest strong suits is that you're coachable. Where'd you learn that? I mean, is that a characteristic that you've always had, or maybe something that you've maybe developed?
Yes, you know, as a kid, you know, growing up with great parents, my mom, my dad, you know, always taught me to be respectful and be a leader. And for me, being a leader in high school as a captain, elected as a captain as a freshman, you know, meant a lot to me. And, you know, that speaks for itself as a freshman, as a captain, all 4 years in high school, and then go to college and be a captain. You know, it speaks for itself for me. Just carry over the same mindset and continue to be a leader on this team would definitely help us.
So what have you learned as you've been coached and now as you've been playing more? What are things you're doing now that maybe earlier in the year you really weren't aware of?
You know, just taking those little things, those points from the game, just detailing points of the game where I felt as though I could have been better, or I could have, you know, chipped this guy or gotten to the flat better. So just taking the details and pinning them down in the classroom, and, well, upstairs in the meeting rooms, and then when it comes into practice, being able to execute it.
Do you study film a lot?
Yes, ma'am.
So what do you think of this Denver Bronco defense? Even though they don't have a great record, what can you do against them?
You know, I let the ball speak, but well, one thing I'll say, they cover ground and they fly around, so we got to be ready to roll from the start.
He also mentioned your willingness to listen to veterans, and he pointed out how you listened to McKinnon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You've had another guy here over the last week, Melvin Gordon, who's an 8-year vet. How much have you picked in his brain, or has he kind of like taken you aside and said, hey, this is what you need to do as a professional?
Day in and day out, you know, I just watch, and, you know, he's just professional. He takes care of his body, and you know, those are things I'm picking up from him. You know, just those little things, taking care of the body, staying on it. He made this far in this game. It's very hard to do that. So, you know, just looking at those older guys that are able to do it, and for me, just continues to picking up little details from them to help me in the long run.
I don't know if anybody's asked you this yet, but they've given you the ball more in the red zone. You scored a touchdown in the last two games. Just how much do you feel like your impact, your value may be important for the offense when you get closer to the goal line?
For me, whenever my number's called, I'm ready to roll. Doesn't matter where we're at, we're on the field. As long as we're on the same page and we're all on the same mission, we can get the goal accomplished.
What do you like the most from your touchdown run against the Bengals? Because it was an 8-yard run, but obviously you bounced off guys, got into the end zone. Just what did you, I guess, were most pleased back when you watched that play?
For me, it was the strain on the O-line. They strained all the way through the play, and until I was in the end zone, you see guys letting guys go off their block. So for me, taking the strain and the finish from that play and can build off of that.
I say, speaking of your parents, can you explain the Pop nickname, where you got it from, and how it goes back to you?
My dad says I grew up with it just growing up. That was my nickname for me as a younger guy playing in midgets. I hit a football player. I was on defense growing up. I hit a quarterback and knocked him out. I don't want to say it like that was crazy, but yeah, then the ambulance came, and I hear my big brother in the stands, and rest in peace, my other brother, he was like, Pop, yeah, Pop, yeah, Pop. So for me, that always just sticks with me, and, you know, it just reminds me, have that little sense of reminder of my brother's there with me.
So people have mentioned the sound nature of Pop. That is where it traces to, right?
Yeah, it traces there, yep.
So when did you decide that I like offense better than defense?
When I was in high school, I just loved scoring touchdowns. And for me, it was just wherever I was able to play to help the team, I was with it. But, you know, scoring touchdowns, I was able to do it from both sides of the field, so I was pleased with the game.
Are you used to hearing pop from the stands growing up?
Yeah, yeah.
People said that?
Yeah.
Chris, thanks,
Isaiah.
Thank you.
All right, there's Isaiah Pacheco. Pop. There is Isaiah Pacheco. He, I mean, in Little League football, he hit the quarterback and the ambulance had to show up. That's
he's more than a little poppy. That's a lot of pop.
A lot of poppy there from Isaiah Pacheco. So yeah, and it's nice to see his development because I do believe he has changed this Chiefs offense and the look and the feel. He and McKinnon in the backfield feels and looks different when they hand the ball off and they run it as opposed to they're running it. And boy, I really hope this is blocked well. If this is blocked well, it's going to be a good play. If it's not, what does Mahomes have on the next one? And let's just keep moving the chains. But yeah, it's been a big difference there with Isaiah Pacheco. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling as we are hanging out at ADA Fundraising today until 2 o'clock today. Their doors remain open today, tomorrow, and Saturday. It is the once-a-year open house for ADA Fundraising where all of the stuff that you will see at different fundraising events and charity auctions and things like that that ADA Fundraising is a big part of that you can buy there and win those auctions, you can just simply come in and purchase it. Their once a year open house going on until Saturday. They've got tons of cool stuff. They've got a $100 jersey sale going on today. So all these different types of jerseys for just $100. And one of the things I said earlier in the show is how much do you think you're buying the jersey for? Yeah. If you just bought the jersey, how much you buying the jersey for? So they've got $100 jersey sale going on this year. They've got the new mystery grab bag that they have this year as well. They've got helmets and mini helmets and baseballs and bats and Mahomes and Kelsey and Bobby Witt Jr. all here at ADA Fundraising. It is 635 and 9 Highway, just across from Park Hill South is the location in Riverside. 635 and 9 Highway, just across from Park Hill South. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I'm going to get to this point, and then I'm going to stop.
Looking forward to it.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back here in the Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards, back at the station. We are hanging out at ADA Fundraising. It's in Riverside, 635 and 9 Highway, right across from Park Hill South. You can go to adafundraising.com to check it out online. But they have their once-a-year open house going on today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Now, on Saturday, they're also going to have Vinny Pasquantino and Michael Massey here that you can come and meet and get their autograph. But that's going to be on Saturday. But the once-a-year open house going on for the next few days at ADA Fundraising, where all of these pieces of memorabilia that are just rare to find, you would find at fundraising events or charity auctions, and you would be outbidding somebody for that. Here, walk in, they've opened up their store, they've opened up their warehouse to where you can come in and just simply purchase something here, and you're not outbidding the guy next to you. Now, if there's only one left on the on the wall and you want it and the other guy wants it, you do have to then fight them to the duel, but you don't have to outbid them. The winner just gets what the price is.
What was the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie with the toy? I remember this one. This is a 90s movie. It's really speaks to me. I can't remember the name of it right now.
Yeah, it was
Don't just have Deck the Halls. I don't think
it's not Deck the Halls.
It's a little superhero action figure thing, you know?
I like this
I've
movie.
Seen this Me movie. Too. I can't think of what it is, though.
Oh, my God. I'm not looking. No. I just Googled it, but I'm closing my screen, actually.
Close the screen. We gotta figure this out, okay? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Christmas movie.
Oh, He's man.
He's looking
there
for the
people.
Action figure
I've
for
got
child.
It. I've got it if you guys don't figure it out.
Do you want to give us a hint? Can you give us a hint? How many words is the title?
Four.
Or,
Jingle All the Way.
There you go.
Jingle All the Way. All right. We got a little help out here. That we
No, that was
needed.
Just all me. I don't know what you're talking about. That was all me.
There was like a pre-echo for you. That's crazy.
Oh, dang it. People can hear this.
Jingle All the Way.
Yes.
God, that 1996. Look at that.
So we were thinking about that in my mind. I have no idea how we got there. Why are we thinking?
You said if there's only one left. And that, for Jason, I haven't seen this movie for 20 years, but it was a movie that all four of us, you, me, Beards, and Dylan, have all definitely seen. What a cultural touchstone.
Kind of like the movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I'll watch it. It's not too bad. But there are so I went and looked around at the break there just to find some other things that, you know, for all different sports fans too. Because, like, you know, hey, K-State just won the Big 12 championship. Deuce Vaughn signed helmets that are here. There's a Ochai signed KU basketball, national championship basketball. There's a national championship picture with Ochai, and that's autographed, framed, a beautiful frame there as well. And I saw a baseball that I promise you that – so, like, you know, Mecole Hardman, you could have a Mecole Hardman helmet or jersey. You might see Mecole Hardman somewhere, get an autograph.
Sure.
Besides, you know, the Lynn Dawson stuff that we just talked about, you know, earlier that obviously you can't get right now.
Yeah.
There's a baseball signed by Buck O'Neill.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, there's a couple baseballs signed by Buck O'Neill. Now, I actually already have one.
Yeah, I don't.
But that autograph is on an official Negro Leagues baseball
cool.
signed by Buck O'Neill. That's over there. I was just looking through the baseballs. I'm like, oh, yeah, Alex Gordon. And, oh, Stalmont, that's an interesting one just to have there. And Bobby Witt and Buck O'Neill. And who?
Honestly, man, I don't know how many names you could have said that would have made me think, I need to go take a look at that before we get out of here today. I'm going to take a lap around regardless and try to get some Christmas shopping done. But that one right there might be a little might be two Joshua from Santa. Might be the tag on that one.
I will tell you this. If I didn't already have one, that would definitely be a two Jason from Santa. I've already got a two Jason from Santa. I am going to leave here with a Daron Cherry autographed jersey. Big Daron Cherry fan, and it is part of the $99 jersey sale that they have going on here. And you just look through and see all of the different jerseys they have. And this is... it's a sewn-in, authentic Chiefs Daron Cherry jersey.
It's inspired.
Am I paying $99 for that?
It's crazy.
You know, just for the jersey itself, and now I get Daron Cherry's autograph with number 20, KC Chiefs, Daron Cherry there. And there's a lot of these different jerseys, that Jan Stenerud jerseys as well. So there's some cool stuff.
I mean, no kidding. Every time I look around, I look at something, and then I look for the price tag, and I think, that should be a little bit more. Mm-hmm. That should cost a little more. And as you've talked about, usually it's very, very difficult. They only open these doors open for a few days a year.
Yep.
But, like, every single time you turn your head, you could just pick Danny Manning signed rolled poster. A very nice $69. Yeah. That feels too low to me. That feels like these prices could be raised. I'm not going to tell them that, of course, until after you get here and get to do your Christmas shopping.
Beautiful Jordy Nelson autographed helmet as well. Maybe get that one for a Shane.
I would. You said Jordy, and I was already deciding that if there's Jody Fortson memorabilia here, that is going to be to Joshua from Santa. I haven't seen it yet, but I haven't gone on the hunt. The greatest number 88 in Chiefs history.
Would you just buy him out of his stock?
Yes.
I'll take that. Yes. Oh, one of those? No, I'll just take that. How many? You have 50 of those footballs signed by Jody Fortson? Sure, I'll take all 50.
Excuse me, what is your 88 section? Oh, Gonzalez? No, thank you. Not in this home. We're looking for Fortson.
I'm looking for the better 88 in a Chiefs uniform. Thank you.
Simply the greatest Chiefs tight end ever win number 88.
I don't remember it being Gonzalez season.
That's right, baby.
I remember
That's
it being
right.
Fort season.
Fort season has arrived.
Well, in all seriousness, to make a transition back to the show, I've seen some MVS, some Brian Cook, some Sky Moore, some different things there. I have not seen any Justin Reed stuff, which kind of interesting, but we have heard from Justin Reed last week. And let's hear from Justin Reed in the locker room today. Todd Lebo work in the locker room, and he caught up with Chiefs number 20. So it was Todd Lebo and others there, and we will see if anybody is crying about it as they talk to Justin Reed. Let's take a listen.
Justin, I look at Russell Wilson, a guy who's won a Super Bowl, and I see that, you know, maybe this offense isn't as comfortable for him, but he's still a dangerous quarterback. So what are you seeing on film with him? What are you seeing maybe that he's adjusting to or things that you could take advantage of?
Yeah, I mean, they're only a couple of plays away in every game that they've been in. Russell is a Super Bowl champion. You know, he has all the tools. He has all the talent. And, you know, they're right there. So despite their record, they're not a team to be taken lightly, and we're going to have to bring and go play good football when we go play them.
Justin, that tweet, I believe it was Tuesday morning, you said it was kind of just no regrets on any of the talk. Is that energy come from you might see the Bengals again? Just where were you thinking?
We're going to just put that to bed. Move on to Denver this week, you know, and we're going to focus on the Denver Broncos right now.
With the Broncos, Coach told us the other day,
they're very close. It's like, you know, a few inches here or there, they could have a much different record on offense. Said he was going to show you guys that on tape. Is that the kind of stuff you're seeing, that they actually are closer to being a much better offense?
Yeah, a couple of explosive passes. You know, Russell Wilson loves deep ball, really throws it high. And a lot of those plays hits the receiver's hands, and, you know, if it ends up being a catch, it can go, the whole game can go a different direction. So we know that, you know, as the Kansas City Chiefs, we tend to get everybody's best game, especially this being a divisional matchup. So we know that we're going to take their best shot, and we're going to play good football against them.
You've been in a different division before you got this division. Are you feeling this AFC West stuff with this with these rivalries yet? This is your first time facing them.
Yeah, the history runs deep. Mm-hmm. History definitely runs deep, and you can feel the rivalry with each of the games.
Now, this streak is 13 in a row for the Chiefs on the good side. You weren't here for any of those games, but do you get a feeling for that when you walk in here, that the Chiefs take care of business against the Broncos?
Yeah, but, you know, what we've done in the past has zero impact on what's going to happen Sunday. You know, so we're still going to have to go out and play good football to go get a win.
Have you played at altitude out there? Have you played?
Yeah, I played there before.
So at this point of the year, you guys are in game shape, right? It's what Coach told us the other day. Maybe it can be a bit of a factor earlier in the year. Altitude having an effect on you when you've been out there before?
Not the first time. I played there both in college when we played Colorado, and I played the Denver Broncos. You feel it a little bit during warm-up, but you get your win back. If you do a good job conditioning early, and then during the game, it shouldn't be a problem.
You guys are one of the best teams in the league, but you have a negative turnover differential. I know you guys on defense can't decide what the offense does, but I just wonder how much of an emphasis as you get to the later part of the season is about maybe that one or two turnover that might, you know, swing the game in your guys' advantage.
Yeah, you know, when they come in bunches. So hopefully we just save them all for this home run stretch here in December. January and February.
One of your tasks this year has been bringing Brian Cook along. How have you seen him progress, especially in recent weeks?
Oh, yeah. He has all the potential in the world. Very high ceiling, cerebral player. Can make all the calls, can make all the plays. Going to be a good player in this league.
I'm shocked I didn't hear him break down the Broncos receivers and what's going to happen. This would have been the week for him to say, you know what, we're going to lock that team up, because it's like, well, I kind of feel like they've already turned themselves in. So if you're going to lock them up, they've already done that for you. There's no more seeking them out. But they're putting that to bed. So he's going to put that, whatever the Bengals thing was, to bed after sending the final tweet to say, I won, cry about it, but I'm not talking about it anymore. We're putting that to bed. Either way, so Justin Reed getting ready for the Denver Broncos and this Chiefs team and that Chiefs defense, which is going to be in the spotlight, because it's a pass-fail for the defense this week. And either you look really good or you don't. There's no, there's some things you can take away here or there. No, either you dominate the Broncos offense and keep a bad team playing poorly, or there are some issues coming out of that we have to examine. You know, this is a game where the Chiefs defense technically, you know, should get, you know, healthy, not literally, but figuratively, and getting back to what they were when it was the Titans and the Jags and the Rams, you know, when they were playing some crappy teams.
Right.
Quarterbacks.
Much to Justin Reed's chagrin, I want to go backwards just to the one question and answer on the Bengals thing.
Yeah.
I hate this part. I don't like being crotchety old radio man, and very few people have ever accused me of being old, if not crotchety. But he wasn't ready to move past it Tuesday morning.
We hadn't got to the facility yet.
He either, as Mitch Schwartz said, he was either at the facility or on the way to the facility Tuesday morning, and he tweeted out, I was still right, cry about it. Say that if you want. I don't want to, like, just throw bleep at Justin Reed for talking. I want more players to be more honest more often. And clearly, look, Andy Reid now has had two conversations with Justin Reed about all of this, and I understand why Justin Reed went out there today and said, yeah, it's got to move on, you know, just putting it behind me. But it's just not a response that I think very highly of when, under your own volition, you were not ready to move on. You were ready to talk about it on Tuesday after losing that game. And he played pretty well in that game. This is not a criticism of his plays or of the fact that he had some opinions that he shared coming into the week. Again, I want more players to be more honest. But whenever you tweet something like that and you get asked about it a couple days later in the locker room, I think you have a little responsibility for your own statements to say something about that. I do not think that is an unreasonable standard to hold a player to. And Justin Reed is clearly smart enough to navigate that, clearly an eloquent guy whenever he's doing anything other than talking about the Bengals matchups and trying to put names to numbers. I think you said last week that it seemed like he was trying to make it easier for the listener. I think you're right about that. I think that was a favor to the cameras. They ended up getting him in trouble. But I hate we're on to Denver or whatever whenever there's something that clearly indicated you were not on to Denver the last time you made any sort of statement. I find that very frustrating because it shouldn't be that difficult to say, look, they got us. I'm still frustrated by it. I take this bleep personally. I hate losing. I hate watching another team beat this team three times in a row, and I didn't process that very well because it pissed me off. That clip would have gotten played throughout the day. We all would have said, good bleep, Justin Reed. Appreciate your honesty. Appreciate how much you care. And it's not bulletin board material. It's just the truth. And this whole thing of, I put it behind me is an excuse for anything ever. I could slap Dylan right now, and you could say, hey, man, why'd you slap Dylan? I'd say, oh, that was 4 or 5 seconds ago, Jason. I'm putting that behind me. Dylan might not be ready to put that behind him, but I would be.
So you're like Rafiki. Hit him yes. in the head. What'd you do that for? Who cares? It's in the past. Doesn't matter.
That is a great, great, great reference.
So to that, I think when you're talking about professional athletes in today's social media age, that – He can tweet it on Tuesday and give his thoughts on, okay, this is the final word. I think I won. Whatever. If you don't believe me or think that, cry about it. And he can control that because then he can just turn off replies or he can just never go and look at the replies to that. On Thursday in the locker room, if he starts answering questions, he doesn't control then where the next question comes from and the next question comes from. And if he's answered the first two, then can he then go, no, guys, I'm ready to move on. I want to go on to the Broncos or whatever. It kind of feels like an all or nothing. Either you answer the first one and then the press conference comes to, well, did Andy talk to you about it? Have you other players? I mean, have you heard from this or that or this other? As opposed to the first one going, I'm moving on, guys. We're talking about the Denver Broncos, putting it behind us, and let's go.
But even Andy Reid navigated that a little better yesterday because, and obviously, Andy Reid had to talk about it on Monday. Andy Reid talks post-game Monday, and then on Wednesday, there were a couple Bengals questions. I think he gave kind of half an answer once and then said, we're moving on to Denver. And then some of the follow-ups, he said, hey, no, we're on to Denver. For Justin Reid, it wasn't the third time he's been asked about this. It's, hey, you tweeted this on Tuesday, and it really looked like sour grapes to a bunch of us. So what was going on there? Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to put your transmission out on Twitter, you should take a follow-up question about it the next time that you're in the locker room. And please, again, I think I try to be pretty far away from respect us in the media.
Why are you screaming at clouds right now?
I feel like I'm screaming at clouds and telling everyone how important the locker room scrums are. When in reality, I think more highly of Justin Reid than anything that he has done the last week would mm-hmm. indicate.
Yeah, no, and I also think there's an exaggeration of the – with all of the trash the Chiefs talked last week.
Yeah, it was like...
Was there trash? I mean, there was a comment by Justin Reid and then a tweet to clarify his comments and then replying to Ja'Marr Chase. And that was it. Everybody else was very effusive in their praise of, like, how good they are and this team is this and this Bengals team is that and they got us last year twice and got to do this and got to do that. Like I didn't hear the but it was
the most disrespectful trash talk of the week was on Tuesday. Yes. That's the thing. It was that tweet on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. And but because then it's talked about all week, and you talk to Higgins, Chase, and Hayden Hurst, not Higbee.
Yep.
You talk to all of them. They're weighing in. Then after the game, everybody's weighing in. It then turns out to be like, well, I mean, that thing they were talking all week last week.
Right.
Well, no, the Bucks weren't talking all week. It was Shaq Barrett. The Titans weren't talking all week. It was Jeffrey Simmons. You know, that's and the Chiefs weren't talking all week. It was Justin Reid. I was wrong in saying I don't think we'll hear anything more from Justin Reid like that because then he tweeted it out on Tuesday. I'm going to guess that we won't hear anything in the locker room in front of a microphone from Justin Reid like that, which is why you get the we're moving on to Denver and ready for this game. And, you know, it's a good offense. You know, these guys are good, whatever. And then just talking about your own teammates as well. So I kind of feel like that was expected. I would have. I was certainly interested in hearing what his answer was going to be because the question was going to be asked, and good for him for being in the locker room because it's very easy for him to be like, oh, I'm getting treatment. Sorry, guys, I'm not going to be there. All he has to do is dodge yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and it seemed like everybody dodged yesterday. But it certainly sounded like the locker room was lively today. Basketball's back. I know that. Mm-hmm. I could hear the basketball in the background. That's going on again. You know, maybe it was just everybody showing up today. Maybe it was random that nobody was there yesterday. But he could have found somewhere else to be today and tomorrow, you know, and showing up and answering questions and not putting on like a show or something. Like, you know, he didn't go Russell Wilson and, you know, get a card game together only when the media's there or anything like that. You know, he didn't do any of those things. So I'm fine with it. I would have loved to hear his explanation of to how he was right. So how do you think you were right? What happened? Because you were also a part of Angry Runs. Mm-hmm. You were the bad part of Angry Runs on NFL Network by Samaje Perine. But, oh, well, maybe there's an element of, you know, maybe if the Chiefs had more of a trash-talking sense going into that game and trash-talking in the game, maybe they don't look like they were a little lifeless or they were the ones making like a business trip where it looked like the Bengals were there to play some football against a team they don't like. Mm-hmm. And the Bengals were the ones that got the unsportsmanlike penalties and the trash talking by Jamar Chase and that stuff. And the Chiefs were, man, it just felt too much like they were going through the motions at times. I mean, they could not tackle. They couldn't, you know, every single play felt like it was an extra 3 or 4 yards for the Bengals. It didn't feel like the juice was on the Chiefs side when that was the side you thought most of the juice would be because of the insinuation from the talk last week for who was discussing things from what happened last year, whether that be Chris Jones or Patrick Mahomes or whoever else that was a part of those teams last year. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling, hanging out at ADA Fundraising. It is located 635 and 9 Highway across from Park Hill South. You can go to adafundraising.com. The once a year open house going on today, tomorrow, and Saturday, along with Vinny Pasquantino and Michael Massey will be here Saturday that you can meet, get their autograph, and hang out with them. And you see all of the really, really cool memorabilia signed stuff here at ADA. It is 635 and 9 Highway right across from Park Hill South. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. There was an interesting stat that was put out on Twitter. So it was something interesting on Twitter. That was good. And it was the yards per play, offense and defense, looking at every team in the NFL through the course of the season and then the last 3 weeks. And something really stood out, which goes along with a conversation, a narrative, and a question that we've asked about the Chiefs for the last couple of years. We'll do that next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I was going to tell you when you came in here that there's going to be a time when I'm going to be at your house while you're asleep.
On Sports Radio 810.
All right, hanging out right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. ADA Fundraising, our location, 635 and 9 Highway. Open house once a year, today, tomorrow, and Saturday going on for ADA. Some cool stuff for the holidays that you can go and get some presents for those in your life or yourself as well. Just take care of whoever you need to.
Make a round trip out of it if you'd like, because the famous Holiday 810 gift basket sale is going on all day today at Smoke and Fire. Gift baskets priced from 810 to 4810. Many price ranges to choose from. Incredible deals in each basket. Each one stocked full of accessories and stocking stuffers only at Smoke and Fire, their new location in Rosanna Square at 119th and Metcalf. Go check out Smoke and Fire for the 810 gift basket sale going on right now.
Could also give away $25 in a gift card to Johnny's Tavern if you win Sports or Leisure coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. So I mean,
the stockings of friends and family of Zone listeners
stuffed,
absolutely stuffed this year.
This is what happens when you go to Johnny's. Stuffed. That comes up at 1 o'clock. Okay, so I teased the stat that was put out that was fascinating to me, and then going and looking at some of the numbers, and it's a narrative we've talked about for the last couple of years. So we've talked about this question or this feeling that the Chiefs play better on the road than they do at home. Mm-hmm. That's been a common sentiment, Sunday not really withstanding, but you know, it just, for whatever reason, feels like they play better on the road than they do at home. So this was yards per play this year, offense, defense, then they you know, do the net, they do the last three games, but then break it down by home and away. So the yards per play given up, so on defense, yards per play, home and away split is a difference of 0.1. So 5.5 and 5.4. So it's pretty similar. Yards per play gained on offense this year. Playing at home is 6.1. Playing on the road is 6.9. Almost a yard more per play on the road. Now, the first question might be, okay, well, who did they play at home and on the road? Here are the rankings of yards per play on defense given up for the teams that they have played. At home, 10, 17, 18, 24, 28, 31. Again, that's the 6.1. That's the lower yards per play. Again, 10, 17, 18, 24, 28, 31. One team in the top 10, three in the top 20. On the road, 5, 6, 8, 15, 20, 31. Those are the teams that they have gained almost a yard more per play on the road. The numbers are actually saying that, yeah, they do play better on the road than they do it. They're playing better defenses in yards per play, but they're also gaining almost a yard more per play. Break that down for me, Josh. Riddle me that, Batman.
It's an interesting one, because my inclination is certainly to say that's probably noise. Statistical
could
noise,
be.
not stadium noise. But it's a very strange one, because, yes, of course, my immediate thought was, well, who have they played each of those games?
Yeah.
And you've laid it out that the numbers shouldn't quite be trending in the way that they
should
are.
Be flipped.
It's an interesting one. You would expect them to be flipped.
They've played three teams in the top 10 of yards per play allowed. They've played four teams in the top 15, and five of the six have been in the top 20. And that's almost 7 yards per play. Whereas five of the six teams they've played at home are in the bottom half of the league. And three of them are 24 or worse. I don't know. Maybe there is something about being away from Arrowhead. Didn't help on Sunday, though. That would have been nice.